in Canaan. It's giants. And they don't think that they can beat them. That is, 10 of them don't think that. But Joshua and Caleb, they come back with the minority report. They're like, yes, let's go. We can take it. God's promised it to us. We can go into this land and we can take it. But the 10 others were like, no, we can't do it. There's just no way that we can take it. There's no way that we're able to get in there. But Joshua and Caleb, let's go. Let's do it. This is the land, God who led us out of Egypt. We've been heading towards there. This God who did all this, he's like saying, go into the land. We can do this. We can do this. And the 10 are like, no, we can't. And they decide not to go. They don't think that they can do that. And that sets in motion a 40-year wilderness experience because the people accepted the majority report. And so for 40 years, God's people are wandering throughout the wilderness until an entire generation of Joshua and Caleb's peers dies off except for them. Joshua and Caleb, because of their faithfulness, are the only two from their generation that survives that 40-year journey, and they get to go into the promised land, and Joshua is going to be the one who is going to be the handoff guy who's going to get to go into there. Because of their lack of faith, God sends Moses and the entire nation of Israel on this trip. His judgment comes on Israel. And they have to wander for 40 years. Well, after bringing the people to the edge of the Jordan, Moses dies and Joshua, the man that God calls out to lead these people, is right there. You wonder how Joshua felt? I mean, could you imagine that God appears to Joshua, if you were Joshua, and says, hey, you're going to be my guy now. You're going to be the one who gets to lead the people into Israel. I would be going, I'd be like Moses. I'd be like, no, somebody else is better than I am. Come on. Somebody else. But Joshua had a lot of experience that prepared him to fulfill God's purposes in his life. But again, can you imagine what that must have been like, taking on the place of a man who could speak to God through a burning bush? Cast down his rod and it would turn into a snake. Approach Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at the time, with an ultimatum, let us go or feel the wrath of God. Can you imagine being the person to follow a guy who could stretch out his rod and the seas parted to bring water from a rock? Not only that, but Joshua is chosen to be the leader of a group of people known for their murmuring, complaining, and backsliding. And wishing they were back where they came from? Can you imagine what Joshua must have felt when God spoke to him and said, you're the man to lead my people into the promised land, the man to defeat the enemies of God, the man to rally the troops, the man to inspire courage, the man to foster hope, the man to bring the walls of Jericho tumbling down. All of Joshua's experiences prepared him for the task that lay before him. In the same way, all of your experiences and my experiences prepare us for the plans and purposes that God has for us. It's been said that God never wastes our experiences. Now, we have lots of experiences that God wishes that we didn't have to do, but we did because of the choices that we made. But the good news is that God works through all of that to accomplish his plan and his purposes. Romans 8:28. Todd sent a message to me that was actually one of his favorite verses. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. That God can take all that stuff that we experience and prepare us for his purposes. David cries out in Psalm 23, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So you and I have lots of experiences, some really good experiences, some not so good experiences, and we have some really tough experiences in our life. But if we choose to allow those experiences to be used by God, they will prepare us for our future. They will prepare us for the things that are yet to come. So the first lesson from the front line is that our past experiences prepare us for God's purposes. Our second lesson comes from verses 3-5. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So what God is saying to Joshua is basically everything and everywhere you can go, from the east to the west, to the north to the south, I am with you and I am giving that to you. And so the second lesson that we learn is that obstacles are stepping stones for greater faith. The obstacles that we face are stepping stones for greater faith. See, obstacles are opportunities for us to deepen our faith. Obstacles are opportunities for us to deepen our faith. And it's all a matter of our perception. It's all a matter of our how we choose to encounter those obstacles that we have. Are we going to allow the obstacles of life to beat us down and tear us up and push us away? Or are we going to look at the obstacles of life and say, I am not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm holding on. I am trusting that my God is my God and he is going to carry me through every obstacle, everything that comes before me. See, if we give in and if we give up, then our faith begins to diminish. But if we hold strong and we hold tough and we're like, I know who my God is. I believe in who my God is. And I know that my God can do infinitely, exceedingly, abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine. I have a God who Mary said, nothing is impossible for. If we approach our obstacles that way, then the obstacles that we have are going to be opportunities. They're going to be stepping stones for us to deepen our faith. Dr. Henry Cloud, one of my favorite authors. He's a Christian psychologist who wrote the book Boundaries. I know I've told you this like 1,000 times. If you haven't read this book, you need to read this book, Boundaries. It is like right there under the Bible. It's a good thing that really helps us to establish great, healthy relationships with people. But he says that nothing of value has no obstacles in its path. Nothing of value has no obstacles in our path. And what he's saying is that there are just going to be obstacles in our life. And if there's something of value ahead of us that we're fixing our eyes on, there are going to be obstacles in our way. And we got to choose, are we going to barrel through those obstacles? Are we going to hang on as God both pulls us through and sometimes pushes us through or walks us through those obstacles? Or are we going to let the obstacles knock us down? See, obstacles have the opportunity to help us to deepen our faith. You see, the kind of God that we worship determines the kind of people we become. So lesson number one, our past experiences prepare us for God's purposes. Lesson number two, obstacles are stepping stones for greater faith. Lesson number three comes from the last few verses, 6-9. These are important, important verses. God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Second time, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then is dependent upon what preceded it, right? Then you will be successful in everything you do. He reiterates it. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Third time. God does not have a speech impediment. He is very intentional for what he's telling us here, what he is commanding us, what he wants us to choose. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So lesson number three from the front line. Our future isn't bound by our bios, but by our obedience. Our future is not bound by our bios, who we are, where we came from, what we've done, our experiences that we've had so far, what our job is, what our family's like, all that. It is not bound by that. It is instead by our obedience, by doing what God says to do. Did you notice the word obey and how Joshua's success, his success was directly tied to what? Obedience. God says to Joshua, you are going to have amazing success. You are going to go in and you are going to conquer this land. And I'm going to be with you. But if you deviate from what I tell you to do, you will not have success. And we see that actually played out in the pages that follow. When Joshua and the Israelites, when they were obedient to what God said to do, to the letter, doing what God said, not doing what God said not to do, they had success and it was good. But if they did what God told them not to do, they faced destruction. There's this little story just a couple chapters after one about the Israelites going in and taking this place called Ai. And the problem with that is that when they were going into this place, God said, I want you to go in and you have to destroy everything. Don't take any plunder, just destroy everything. And if you do that, it's going to be good for you. Well, it wasn't good for them because there was one who took some plunder. And it was not good for them. See, somewhere in our thought processes, it was the same 3,000 years ago as it is today. We think that we don't really have to obey God and it's all going to be okay. We think that we can skirt around the places where God says, do this, but don't do this, as if I'm really good and faithful in these parts of my life, and I know I'm not really good and faithful in these parts of my life, but God is really going to bless me because I'm really good and faithful in these parts of my life, but I'm really ignoring what you say in these other parts of my life. You get what I'm saying here? Is that Joshua's success was bound to his obedience by his doing what God told him to do. He says, be careful to obey all the instructions that I have given you. Don't deviate from them. Study the book of instruction. Why do we have to study it and meditate on it? Because we are prone to forget. And if we are prone to forget, that means that we might not make really good choices. So we have to study and meditate on it. We have to obey everything written on it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Here's the deal. God wants us to obey what he says, regardless of what culture says. God wants us to do what he says to do, regardless of what everybody else is doing. God wants us to walk in obedience to his commands, to his statutes, to his principles, to his ordinances. And it's in that obedience that we find success. Three times, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Three times, he says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Here's the message that I think that he is sending to Joshua in the midst of standing on the edge of receiving and embracing these amazing things of God that are yet to come in the pages of the Bible. letter A, Joshua needed a single-minded determination to accomplish great things for God. He just needed to be determined to do these great things for God. He wasn't going to vary to the right or vary to the left. He wasn't going to take his eyes off that thing that God had placed before him. He was going to be determined to win. Let's go back to our little track metaphor. What happens if you take your eyes off of where you're going? Megan, what happens if you take your eyes off of where you're going? You go the other lane. You fall down. You get hurt. We've had several guys and gals in our church who are on Floyd Central's swim team. If you're swimming and you take too much time to glance back and see what your competitors are doing, what happens, swimmers? You hit the wall. Yeah. You're going to vary off in another lane. You're going to slow yourself down. You know, why do we do those drills over and over and over to be determined in what we're doing, to fix our eyes? As the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at anything else. Just fix your eyes on there. In the same way, Joshua had to be determined. He was going to go in that direction, and he was not going to vary to the right or to the left. I love what our writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily ties us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So what is our writer saying? Is we have to choose to throw off everything that is going to hinder us from finding our success in God. We've got to look at our lives. We got to find the places that we are at odds with God's word. We got to find those places that we might be pushing the edges of what God wants us to do, and just to fix our eyes on Jesus and be determined to go that way and strip off everything else that's going to be a hindrance. That means that we have to examine our lifestyles. We have to examine our choices. We have to examine our priorities. We have to examine our principles. We have to do these things that are going to get our eyes off of what's ahead of us and to just fix our eyes on what God has for us. So Joshua needed a single-minded determination to accomplish great things for God. Be courageous and be strong, Joshua. You got to be determined. Letter B, Joshua needed a single-minded devotion to realize the blessings of God. A single-minded devotion to realize the blessings of God. Did you notice where God tells Joshua, meditate on this word, study this word. We've got to memorize God's word. We've got to be a people in the word of God. We've got to be devoted to the things of God. How do we know the things of God? By reading the word of God, right? So God is telling Joshua, you've got to be devoted to me. And people, we've got to be devoted to God, because what's going on in our lives? We have voices all around us who are trying to get our eyes off of God. We have voices all around us trying to tell us, oh, compromise here, compromise there, do this, do that. And God's saying, no. You need to be devoted to me. Here's the bottom line. God knows best. And he's given us his word so that we can know what the best is. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, Jesus uses the illustration of money here because he knows that money is like really kind of one of our biggest gods, right? But I want to take that, I want to move that to greater principles in our life, is that he's saying you can't have two gods. You got to choose one. Because the kind of God that you worship, the kind of God that we worship, will determine the kind of people we become. And so we've got to figure out who the God is going to be in our life. And let me just give you a clue. It's not us. That was Pharaoh's biggest mistake. He thought he was God. And look what happened to him. See, we got to be people devoted to God, devoted to God's word. So Joshua needed to be a person of determination. Joshua needed to be single-minded in his devotion to God. And letter C, Joshua needed single-minded dependence to succeed for God. Joshua realized that, man, he was going nowhere without God. that he had to depend on God for all the victories, all the challenges, all the obstacles that lie before him. Because if he didn't have God with him, he was gonna be defeated. But Joshua, being strong and courageous, he needed to be dependent on God. And I think this is a message for us as well. I get in the most amount of trouble when I think that I can do more by myself. Y'all got that problem? That when I realize that I am just totally dependent on God, from the breath that I breathe to the stuff that I have, I am so dependent on God. And if I, for one moment, let go of that dependence on God, I am going to trip and fall on my face in this rally, in this relay for life. And so Joshua has a huge obstacle before him. He's leading this ragtag group of people. By this time, estimates are that it could be 2 million people into this land that God has given them. And they are going to face obstacles when they go to this place. You and I are going to face obstacles when we are in life. And the only way that we successfully overcome those obstacles in our life is to be determined, to be devoted to God, and to be depending on who our God is, because the kind of God that we worship determines the kind of people that we become. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take." You're like, "Man, I don't know which way to go." Seek his will, and he will guide you. Are you hitting an obstacle and you don't know what to do? Seek his will, and he will guide you. Trust in him, and he will lead you. See, Joshua has, it's not just 1:9. It's not just being strong and courageous. But it's being strong and courageous, recognizing that our past experiences prepare us for God's purposes, that the obstacles that we face are stepping stones for greater faith, and that our future isn't bound by our bios, but it is by our obedience. And so the question that I have for you today is, what are you facing? What are you facing today, right now, that brings you face to face with your limitations? See, your limitations are God's opportunities. And here's what I've discovered about limitations and what God can do as we face them. Our confidence comes from Christ. In him, we can deal with anything. In him, we can survive any test. In him, we can overcome any obstacle. In him, we can find contentment no matter what tactics the enemy throws at us. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No promise is too hard for God to keep. No prayer is too hard for God to answer. No problem is too hard for God to solve. No person is too hard for God to save. No mountain is too big for God to move. No need is too great for God to meet. There is nothing our God cannot do. He is on our side, and nothing can hinder his plan as long as we don't give up. The truth is, we will never know what we are capable of in God's strength if we run our way through the obstacles. God wants us to push through the wavering of our faith until we stand firm in unwavering faith. God wants us to yield no ground to the passion slayers in our lives. Is this the kind of God you know? Is this the kind of God you worship? Who can carry you through that? If the kind of God you worship determines the kind of person you become, what would God have to say to you right now in whatever you're facing? See, I'm convinced that our limitations, my limitations, your limitations, are all opportunities for God to do amazing things in our lives. But the God you and I worship determines who we become. So God says, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Let's pray. God, your word to Joshua are words to us as well, to be strong and courageous in the things that we are facing, because your word promises us that you are with us, that you are always with us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you never abandon us, that you are always with us, that wherever we go, you are there because you are with us. And so, Lord, I want to pray that whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties, whatever challenges we might be facing in this room today, Lord, that you might speak into those, that we might discover that as we are strong and courageous in you, the obstacles that we face are opportunities for our faith to deepen, to take hold, to be the platform for us to do more things, to go to a deeper faith, to go to greater faith, to make a greater impact in our world. And so God, just as this verse for Michael has been a place of strength, of assurance of your presence, just as it has been for me and as it has been for countless other people, Lord, I pray that we might embrace this command for us as well. That just as you commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, Lord, that we would heed your command as well, knowing that you are our God and that you go with us wherever we go. And so, Lord, may we find strength in that. So, God, help us to be strong and courageous. We pray all this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.